Psalm 37, I've been preaching through Psalm 37, if you have your Bible. Psalm 37, Terry, I think it's already on, but check it. Psalm 37, one of my favorite Psalms, and Psalm 37. We're going to read the whole Psalm, okay? I hope you don't mind. It's going to take a minute, but we really need it, okay? It is a blessing of a psalm, all right? Y'all don't mind reading a whole chapter tonight, do you? You can go home and say you read a chapter in your Bible this week. Amen. You wouldn't believe how many Baptists couldn't say that.
Amen.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Fellas, this politicians, they're going to be cut down.
All right.
Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yes.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth.
Amen.
For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. I like this. The Lord shall laugh at him.
Yes.
For he seeth that his day is coming. You ever heard anybody say that? Your day is coming, big boy.
Yes.
His day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart.
Yes.
And their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land.
Yes.
When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I've seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Amen, amen, amen. Boy, hey, we can just close the book and go home on that. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Amen. That cancels out all that TV news you watch today. Amen. I love it. I love it. That canceled out that newspaper you read today. Amen. Amen. Look at verse 25. I'll start with verse 25. I've been young and now am old. I hate to admit it, but me too. Amen. I hate to admit it. I've been young and I've been old. Amen. And now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now let me tell you something. Old age has benefits. Old age has benefits. And guess what? One is a divine perspective.
Yes.
One of the benefits of old age, I've been young and I've been old, he said, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. See, he's got a divine, he's got a heavenly, God-like perspective on things. He's looking at things like God would. And that's one thing about getting old. You know, you get mature in the Lord, and a lot of years of living and applying the Word of God proves the Word of God to you. And then you start looking at the way He looks at things. Amen. And so, we look at things as with their eternal value. What's this? Where's this going to be a year from now? Where's this going to be 10 years from now? Where's this going to be 1,000 years from now? And where am I going to be? Amen. Amen. And so David had a whole lot of things that he had seen and a whole lot of things he had experienced. Not all of them were good. Just like our lives, everything's not good. All things may work together for the good, but all things are not good. Amen. Amen. And anybody tells you any different, they haven't been saved over a day or two. He got a divine perspective and he began to watch the wicked and the good. He watched the evil and the righteous to see how they were going to turn out. And then he sat down one day and he put it in the balances. And it turns out the good always wins, like it or not. Amen. In the end, look, we read the book. In the end, we win. That might be a little bit dark right now, a little bit cloudy. Things are looking kind of cloudy. But I've got news for you. God ain't dead. God ain't dead. He's still alive and well. He doesn't even nap. Amen. Amen. Now, in verse 1, look at it. He says, do not fret because of evildoers. Don't do it. Don't you get all upset because of evildoers. Don't do it. You know why? They're not going to be around long.
Right.
We've seen them come. We've seen them go.
Right.
Three times David uses that little phrase, fret not. Because of evildoers around us. There's a lot going on now that you can fret about if you don't watch out. And we do. Let's be honest. But we ought not. First, we must not get overheated when we see evildoers doing what they do, which is evil. They're not any different than the evildoers before them. This is not just like they just got here and nobody's ever had that attitude. Nobody's ever said that. Nobody's ever done that. God's seen a lot of these. He calls them workers of iniquity come and go. Amen.
Amen.
And he says they'll be cut off and they'll be burned up. And so we can't become obsessed with this stuff. Look, and we can't become obsessed when people are prosperous either. If you don't watch out, you get your eyes on other people's stuff and you'll become obsessed with stuff yourself and you'll run yourself to death trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know where that came from. I've never known any rich Joneses, but that's what they say. Have you ever known any rich Joneses? I think the name's a curse or something. I've never known a Rich Jones. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Look, and we ought not allow, Wilt not allow that resentful attitude to come into us and say, well, what's the use in trying to live right? Nobody else is. Well, I've got news for you. God's still got some children.
Amen.
There's still some people right with God. There's some people come to this church that's right with God.
Amen.
Amen. And, boy, I let this young preacher get up one night and he preached on a Wednesday night. And there wasn't many of us there, just a handful, mostly little old ladies and me. And he got up and he ripped us up one side and ripped us down the other side. And he poured salt on it. Then he poured vinegar on it. And wasn't nobody right with God. And everybody was a hypocrite. And everybody was a liar. You know, the church was full of hypocrites and liars. He was just speaking generally. And finally, I cut him off. I didn't give him but 15 minutes. I said, well, thank you. And I got up and paid him on thank you for that message, you know, and helped him down. And by the way, a lot of preachers ought to have that done to him. Thank you for that message. Now go ahead and sit over there and let me tell you something, okay? And I got up and I said, you may not believe it, but we got some people that's right with God in this church. We got some people that love Jesus in this church. We've got some people that do right and talk right and walk right. Everybody's not a hypocrite. Everybody's not backslid. Everybody's not a liar and a crook and a thief. Amen? Amen. Don't you let that stuff get you down. You get looking at people and the old devil's going to show those to you. A lot of times I'll get people to come to church and they'll say, well, I don't like to come to church because I sit back there and I see all these people doing all this stuff while the preacher's preaching and it distracts me. I say, well, we've got a seat reserved for you on the front. Nobody sits on it. You won't have to look at that crowd back there. I had another fellow one time said, I'm not going to church. Church is full of hypocrites. I said, I'd rather go to church with them than go to hell with them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. Hey, it might look like wickedness pays right now, but it doesn't. Hey, this is just a different crowd doing it. That's all. It's all been done before, and it's all failed before. It'll fail this time. Amen? Amen. Look, don't you let this old world get you down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Payday's coming.
Yes.
Don't try to figure it out now. You can't do it. It'll drive you crazy. You'll get mad. You'll get upset. You'll get discouraged. You'll take an axe and you'll try to bust up the television. My wife and I found a new channel. Somebody told her about last night. It's on, you got to go through the internet, I think, to get it, Roku or something. What's the name of it?
Redeem TV.
Is it got ED? Redeemed or just Redeem? Redeem TV. And it's all Christian stuff on there. It's got biographies and documentaries. Biographies about great people of God and documentaries. And plus it's got TV shows and it's got movies. We watched what do we call it? Huh? The Cross and the Switchblade. I don't know why I want to call it the Sword and the Switchblade. But we watched the Cross and the Switchblade movie last night that was made in 1970. Old Pat Boone was the star. It was good. I cried. Amen. Amen. But look, it's all happened before. Don't judge anything before it's time. All these elections, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, you don't know. It's been worse than this. You remember one time we had a civil war.
Yeah.
Amen. This ain't nothing compared to that. Amen.
Right.
And all this stuff's happened before. And then in verse 3 he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on His faithfulness. If I'm worrying, I'm not trusting.
Right?
I mean, it's that simple.
Yes, sir.
Is that too theological for you? If I'm worrying, I'm not trusting.
Right.
And then if I'm not trusting, then I'm sinning. Look, all trust is just a quiet submission and a patient waiting. That's all trust is. I don't know how tomorrow's going to turn out. You know, many a night, Many a night, Brother Jimmy, I've laid there and tossed and turned all night long thinking of all these different scenarios when something was going on in the family or something, you know, and I'm thinking of all these different scenarios, and I woke up crying before because I have a dream about it or something, and then the next day, nothing happened. I wasted a lot of worry. I could have saved that from something else. Amen. Trust in the Lord, he said. If you don't, you're going to get frustrated.
Yes, sir.
You're going to get frustrated. Now, my wife's got a new toy. It's a yard sweeper. She's got a yard sweeper. You hook it up to your lawnmower, and it's got these brushes in it. And as you drive along, it brushes the leaves and grass and stuff up into this big thing in the back. And she brings it to the back of the yard and lets me dump it out and put it on something and carry it out into the woods. That's good, ain't it? It's good for her. She's the one riding. And you know what? When we first got that thing, we didn't even know how to work it. We had to put it together. We didn't know how to do that. I got frustrated. And then after we got put together, we didn't know what it would do. We didn't know how to work it. And it's hard to explain. You can't back it up. I mean, you can, but it gets all... And I'd get frustrated and try to turn that thing, the tongue on ain't about that long, so if you turn that little bit, it goes like this, you know, and if you turn that little bit, it goes like this. And finally, I just didn't think my wife could do it. So I put her on it thinking it's better off her than me. And then it turns out she does it better than I do. I should have just trusted her in the first place and let her do it. Amen. But no, I got to do it. Amen. I got this. Amen. But trusting is not frustration. Trusting is a peaceful waiting. Amen. Now, in verse 16 and 17, if you go back to our chapter, it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Now, it's foolish to be jealous of people having stuff and not trusting the Lord to take care of you to give you what you need. That's just foolish. In verse 4, he said, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight means that you make him the thing that pleases you the most. Delight in him. And as we delight in him, it says he'll give us desires of our heart. Now, I saw where one of those crooked preachers on TV, I saw something today. What's his name? Kenneth Copeland. He said God wants him to be the first billionaire preacher. God told him that. Yeah, God told him that. The first billionaire preacher. Now, you know well as I do, God didn't tell that crazy man that. That man's a crook. But you know, there's a lot of pretty good Christians sitting at home. Maybe they can't go to church, don't have a church to go to, or homebound or something. And they watch him and they think he's telling them the truth. And they're sending him the money that they've trusted the Lord with to take care of them. And then they're turning it over to the crook. We used to have one up here in Fort Mill like that. His name was Jim Baker. And then after that, they got him for selling every timeshare 10 times. That's what they got him for. Overselling timeshares. They got him, put him in jail for that. How many times can you use a timeshare? 10 or 15 people can't use a timeshare in 1 year, you know. And so they got him for that, and he went to jail. And while he was in jail, he said he had a revelation that God told him that's not what he's supposed to be doing. And he apologized for it and all this stuff, you know. And he goes out there to, what's the name of that place where they sing the country music and all that? Branson, Missouri, buys a restaurant out there, old rundown steakhouse, and he gets married again. And him and his new Tammy. Now they're preaching that we're going to have to live through the tribulation period. And he's got the secret of doing it. You buy this little bucket. And in that bucket's got everything you need. Freeze dried to live through the tribulation period. It must really be compact to last 7 years. Some of you folks, it wouldn't last 7 days. Maybe the more water you put on, the bigger it gets. I don't know. But I know this, the man's a crook. And I'm going to delight myself in the Lord, and He'll give me desires in my heart. Do you know what that means? He'll put desires in my heart.
Yes.
And none of them will be to cheat you out of your money.
All right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Trust in doing good. He said the wicked shall perish, and that the foolishness of... Look, these people are just so foolish that they think the things this world's going to satisfy them, that those are exactly the things that's going to kill them. Amen.
Amen.
Worry, heart attack. Worry, emotional problems. Worry, the old saying goes, people that have money is worried about somebody getting it, and those that don't have it is worried about getting it, you know. My dad-in-law said you could take all the money in the world and put it in one pot and distribute it evenly, like the crooked Democrats say. You know, and by the way, I'm not supposed to say that because we do have Democrats come here sometimes. But the Democrats evenly disperse out, one for you, three for me, one for you, four for me. You know, evenly. And they spread it out real even. And you know what he said? You can spread all the money in the world out evenly, and within a year or two, the people that had the money is going to have it back. The ones that didn't have any ain't going to have any. Because the ones that didn't have any don't know how to handle money, and the ones that did have it are greedy, and they just hold on to everything. So I'm going to delight in Him and let Him give me what I need. Amen? Amen, amen. And while He's doing that, you know what else He's going to do if I delight myself in Him? He's going to mold me and make me into what I need to be. By putting those desires in my heart that I need to make me what I ought to be. All right? Now, in Isaiah 58:11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul. You know, we got this old flesh. We run around trying to satisfy it all the time. But the flesh is not the problem. It's our soul that's starving to death, and people think it's their flesh. So they try to, and then by the time they realize it, it's usually too late that they have destroyed the body that they thought was desiring all this stuff, and it wasn't. It was their soul that was dying of thirst.
Wow.
And some of them don't even make it that far. Verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now, commit it. Commit it. Now, that means everything. My good, my bad, my problems, my answers. Commit everything to the Lord. Financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Give it all to Him and He'll bring it to pass. Well, what's He going to bring to pass? He's going to bring to pass that my heart will be transformed, and then He can put His desires in my heart because He knows He can trust me now because I've committed everything to Him, and then He makes me into what I ought to be. See? Now, Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. So if you commit yourself to Him, He will do the direct, and you just do the following. Thank you, Lord. That thing finally went off. Now, listen, commit your way to the Lord. Did you know... And that sounds so easy. And if you ask any Baptist that belongs to this church, if they've done that, they'll say, yeah. But the easiest thing a Christian does is go to church.
Yes.
I mean, that's what they really are committing and recommitting and committing and recommitting and committing and recommitting. It's not their salvation. That's eternal. So you can't recommit your salvation. There's no need to. You ever heard anybody say, well, I rededicated my life to Christ? Well, you don't have to do that. That's not what you... It's you need to make a commitment or a dedication to the Lord with everything about you. And church is just one small bit of that.
Right.
But see, what church does is it is kind of a mirror into what we have really committed. Time, talent, treasure. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you can't do that, then I think you might want to check up that you ever committed in the first place.
Yes.
Well, Billy Sunday said the problem ain't that church has got so many backsliders. He said the problem is we got so many that never slid forward in the first place. Amen? And I ain't talking about you. You're here. Amen. Ain't you glad you come tonight? And I'm skipping over a lot. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked, Isaiah 57. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. Now, look here. Y'all look at me and listen now. Listen. These people, they're not real. They're fake. They look like they have it all together. They talk like they have it all together. They dress like they have it all together. They buy stuff and they build up their own little kingdom like they've got it all together. But in my Bible says, there is no peace for the wicked.
Right.
Why do you think more wealth, super wealthy people end up on drugs and alcohol and got five marriages and all this stuff? They have no peace. They've got no peace in their heart, but see, all you see them is outside when they go home, shut the door. You ain't never lived in that house.
Right.
You don't know what it's like down there. I used to have a couple come to church 100 years ago, it seemed like. And she was not a wealthy woman, but she was stable, and he was a he was an Indian from down in Lumberton. And when they were at church, they just looked so. We just got together. You ever see people like that? They just got together. They just looked so. But they'd come tell me and talk to me, and they didn't have it together. And finally, he came to me one Sunday morning and said, "Preacher, I don't know what to do." So I woke up this morning, she found my pistol, and it was clicking in my face. Click, click, click. I said, "You know what I would do?" He said, "What?" I said, "I'd leave." I said, "You're going to get killed, boy. Why do you stay there?" I said, "I don't want you to get divorced. I don't even believe it." I said, "But I'd move down the road somewhere. I would not sleep in that house." Though they looked like they had it all together, they had a dangerous situation. And of course, it ended up they broke up, and that didn't last, of course. But resting in the Lord doesn't depend on external circumstances, but our relationship with Him, that's what helps us keep it all together. So. That's where our peace comes from. And then verse 8, he says, Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Don't fret. Listen, cease. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that word cease, I want to cease, don't you? Cease means stop. Whoa. Don't go any farther. Now, that doesn't mean you never get angry. That's why James says, don't let the sun, anger, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down your wrath. Anger, but cease. Everybody gets angry sometimes. And sometimes you ought to get angry. We ought to be angry with wicked things and wicked people and wicked situations. The greatest sin in America right now, nobody's talking much about it, is sexual child abuse and trafficking. Yes. Thousands of kids get missing every year, and they're being sold as slaves. And somebody needs to stop and say, "Whoa, stop right here. Let's talk about this." But I'm afraid they don't talk about it because of who might be involved in it.
Right.
This Jerry Epstein thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They ain't talking about that anymore, are they? No, that's why they're burning down buildings to get your eyes off of the Jerry Epstein thing. Amen. And I could preach on a whole nother sermon on that. But of all people that ever lived on planet Earth, Moses had a great reason to get angry every day. He had 2 or 3 million people following him. Baptist people. I know they were. They'd done been under the water. Walked across on dry ground. See, they're Methodists. Everybody's got to go under sometime. And look. And look, these people griped and complained all the time. It's always something. You're not paying us enough attention. Who made you boss over us? Did God say? Moses said that. And look, if anybody had a reason to get mad, Moses had a reason. They grumbled, they complained, they criticized, and look, he got angry. If you'll remember the story, God told him, said, you go down there in that rock and you speak to it and water will come forth. But he got mad and said, what I got to do? Bring water forth from this rock. And he hit it. And when he struck the rock, God said, that's it. You won't go in the promised land. Now he got to go to heaven, but he didn't get to go in the promised land. But he, of all people, now we all get angry sometimes. So what do we do? Verse 27, depart from evil and do good. Depart from evil and do good. Did you know that doing good in the day that we live in is strange? It's an oddity. People think there's something wrong with you if you offer to open the door for them.
Yeah.
Right, they should do.
I'll go to the store or something, you know, and I'll be going ahead of a lady or an elderly person, more so than this one, and I'll go to the door and I'll stop and I'll pull that door up and they'll go. And they'll stop. I say, and they'll walk in like this. I'm checking out one day. I told this lady, I said, thank you, ma'am. She said, don't call me ma'am. I said, why not? She said, that's a derogatory remark from the Southern heritage on black people. I said, it is not. I said, my mama's a ma'am. I said, my wife's a ma'am.
Right.
Amen. I said, I don't know where you got that jump from, but we call that being polite, saying thank you, please, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, sir.
Amen.
But now, my goodness, do good when everybody else is doing evil. And don't worry. Trust, delight, commit, rest, cease from anger. And then he says, depart from evil. Now, once you depart from evil, it's like that man that had his, that Jesus told about, they ran the demons out and he swept his house, but he didn't replace it with anything. And more demons came back than there was in the first place. So, if you're going to do right, and you're going to commit, rest, cease from anger, delight in the Lord, and depart from evil, now what are you going to do? Verse 34. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, stay in his will, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. Now, listen. You ever been in a waiting room? You ever been in a waiting room?
Yes.
I was there when all three of my daughters was born. That's where men are supposed to go when their daughters are born. I was in there when my daughter was having her baby, and I almost, she ran me out. She ran me out. She said, Daddy ought not see this. I said, amen. Amen. I don't want to see it. You call me. Amen. You remember the old Bantam Chef, the old Hardee's, the old fast food places? You walked over here and you ordered. Went to one window and you ordered. And then you went to the other window and you picked it up.
Yeah.
You know what that's called between the order window and the pickup window? Waiting. How many times you go there and say, I want a double cheeseburger, extra order of fries, I want a milkshake and a Pepsi Cola to go with it, and an apple turnover, and hey, don't hold back on the pickles, okay? And then you walk over here and you go, well, I ain't waiting no longer and take off. You're an idiot. If you'd have waited, you'd have got something good. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Put your order in, get in line, and wait. And when it's time, he'll call you to the pickup window, and he'll give you what you need. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. See, the problem is you, Roy, who brought instant coffee to that camp out? Instant coffee, who brought that? Oh, you ain't a good waiter. You ain't a good waiter. He brought instant coffee to the... Did anybody drink that, Kenneth? Did anybody drink instant coffee?
It's good for emergencies.
Oh, it's just emergency coffee. Okay. But instant coffee is what people get when they don't want to wait. Have you ever drank instant coffee?
Yes.
And then you drank the real stuff? Do you really want the instant coffee? Wouldn't you rather wait until the pot percolated and get the real thing? Amen. But see, the devil knows we don't like to wait. So when we put it in the pot, we put the order in and we stand over here, you know, and we're standing there and we're saying, well, Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, I'm waiting. The devil says, he's over here. Your window's over there. He says, why don't you come over here and get some of this instant stuff?
Amen.
This is instant here. Instant answer, instant gratification, instant, instant, instant. And it's cheaper too. It won't cost you as much. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wait on the Lord and we'll inherit the land. Look, you ever heard this? Haste makes waste. Now you're looking at a man that's not real patient myself. My wife will tell you that. I'm not real patient. I'm better than I used to be. Thank God I'm better than I used to be. Wow. Wow. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So you go to the window. He says, well, bring your wants and petitions to me. You're doing the will of God. You bring them over there. And then you go over here and you get in the waiting area. And guess what? He's got something for you. It's coming. It's coming. He's promised. There's a promise coming. It's in the kitchen. He's fixing it up. It's headed this way. But you ain't got time to wait. So you get your instant over here and you go home. And then you realize you went to the wrong window and got the wrong thing because you wouldn't wait. Amen? I've done that. And let's see, verse 35 and 36, and I'm almost through, 35 and 36. In verse 35, he said, I've seen the wicked in great power and spread in himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Now, there's two kind of trees. There's two kind of trees in the Bible. One is that bay tree. That's the wicked said, he's like this tree. He spreads himself like a great big green tree, you know. But then there's that other one, Psalm 1:3, and he says that tree is planted by the rivers of water, and it'll bring its fruit in due season. You know what that means? Wait on it. Wait for it. Wait for it. I've never been coon hunting, but I've met coon hunters, and I know coon hunters, and I've heard them tell them dogs, you know, look for it. Look for it. Is that what they say?
Look for it. Speak to me.
And them old dogs, yeah, and they'll run all over those woods all night long. They'll run that old coon back to you. But guess what? I ain't waiting on him. I'm not waiting all night for a raccoon. Did you? Matter of fact, just throw out some slops on your back porch. They'll show up.
Yeah.
Every morning I go out on my deck and on my side porch, and there's raccoon tracks right across to there. And it's the same path every morning. They make little kingdoms, and they travel those paths. Same, they never get off those paths. If I want one, I'll just put a rabbit box out there and catch it. I'm not waiting on a stinking raccoon. You know why? People eat those things. You ever eat a raccoon? You know why I don't eat them? He looks like he's half dog and half cat. He looks like a confused Chinese dinner. Wearing a mask. He's a confused Chinese. Have you ever eaten meat on... You ever go to Chinese? Don't say you don't. You ever go to a Chinese restaurant and they got that stick and it's got some kind of meat on it, boneless meat? You don't know what that is. The bone ain't on it, the foot ain't on it, the ear ain't on it, the foot. You don't know what that is. And they tell me, I better go on. I'm not waiting on it. I'm not waiting on a raccoon. Hey, Listen, that old wicked one, he'll spread himself all over everything he can get his hands on. But guess what? Yet he passed away and he was no more. I sought him, but he could not be found. But Psalm 1:3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bring forth his fruit in due season, whose leaves shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Wait on it. Wait on it. Now, this psalm ends with a positive note. Look at verse 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You remember that old song, without him, I'm nothing.
Yes.
Without him, where would we be? Amen?
Yes.
Now that wicked crowd, that Pelosi, Schumer, I'm sorry, I'm not. Edit that. Listen. That crowd comes and goes every lifetime.
Yeah.
You remember that Holroyd back when you was young, that crooked crowd that was around Joe McCarthy and all them. You remember that? That was your lifetime. That was your, how old was you when Joe McCarthy was around? About a teenager? You don't remember Joe McCarthy? He accused everybody of being a communist.
Oh, yeah.
He ain't here no more. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen. I've been young and I've been old. I am old. I am old. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I mean, if you get right with God, God will take care of you. And I've not seen his seed begging bread. He'll feed you. He'll supply your needs. Amen?
Yes.
Now, you may not be the first billionaire evangelist, but you'll have the Father who owns everything in the hills and in the ocean and everywhere else. Amen? I'm just going to trust him. I got nowhere else to go. Where are we going to go? Amen. Let's sing one. Come on.
Y'all open your hymn books to 451. 451.
I will ever love and trust you.